I am Pierre Lumumba here at the Manzoni Wildlife Estate in Machakos County in the Republic of Kenya, here in the continent of Africa. And as we continue with our conversations about the continent, today we focus on what is called the Gold Coast. Perhaps there is wisdom in understanding the stretch of what was described as the Gold Coast. And it must be seen in the context of the interaction between the locals in the western part of Africa and the Portuguese. The recorded history, as recorded by European explorers, particularly Diogo de Azambuja in the 15th century, tells us that when he visited that area, gold works were already operating in earnest. And that is therefore to give credence to the fact that there were very well developed cultures in that part of the world. Indeed, as early as the 15th century, Nana Ansah, who was the ruler of the immediate environment in which what is known as El Mina was built, gave the land to the Portuguese to build. And El Mina actually means the mine, which means there were developed mines in that area. There is the tendency to restrict the Gold Coast to what is present-day Ghana, but proper understanding of the history must stretch beyond what is Ghana. And we see as early as the 15th century through to the 16th century and even earlier, trade in gold and mining in gold taking place in very many areas. The Songhai and the Mali empires, particularly the empire that is epically known as having been created by Sundiata Keita, was an environment that was known for its gold, and gold was significant because it was not only used for ornaments and for ornamental purposes. It had some spiritual aspects to it, and it became a symbol of trade. And this must be understood in the context of the fact that as a medium of trade, it was something that was valued and valued very dearly. And when one looks at the impact of gold in that area and the emergence of quite a number of cities, Timbuktu, which we talk about, was as a result of the gold trade. And history tells us further that because of the sophistication of that area, because of the value that gold gave to the kingdoms, individuals such as Mansa Musa, whom we know, in fact, estimates now make the claim, which of course is debatable, that Mansa Musa is the richest man who ever lived. And the story is because when he went on a pilgrimage much later, when Islam had come into that part of the world, the amount of gold that he deposited on his way disturbed the economy of the world for a very long time. And the story of Mansa Musa does lend credence to the fact that gold was a very important commodity in that area. And gold stretched into other areas, which is now called the Sahel. And being understood in that context, the Gold Coast therefore became a very important area, particularly during the 15th and 16th century, as I've already indicated. And Ghana, which, or what is present-day Ghana, was actually named the Gold Coast because of the quantity of gold that was obtained from that area. And many mines were opened. Today we talk about mines in places such as Obuasi, but most of their Ghana and what is called the Ashanti land became known as the Gold Belt. And because it was a gold belt, there is something that also happened. In addition to the trade that was taking place in earnest, it also led to the urge for exploration of that area. And indeed, and this must be remembered, that is because of gold in that area that what started as a very innocent and friendly relationship between the locals or the indigens in the Gold Coast The Portuguese then acquired an appetite which was very different, and the entire process of slave trade and conquest of empires was informed by the presence of gold mines in that area. It became necessary for trading communities to begin to raid others. The need for labor became more intensified, and it must be remembered that the methods of mining were fairly rudimentary. Not that that has changed dramatically in certain areas, particularly when today we talk about Galamsey in Ghana. Alluvial gold mining was quite frequent in the rivers that were in those places. And gold became one of the attractions, not only for the slave trade, it also became an attraction for the process of colonization. In those early days, in terms of the currency that was being used, gold was at the very forefront. And the belt that is called the Gold Coast, in terms of proper interpretation, must therefore go beyond present-day Ghana. It must go into Mali, it must go into Niger, it must go even in places such as Guinea-Bissau, because these were areas that were being targeted by individuals and companies that one can describe as the gold merchants. When the Portuguese had done their bit, we see the coming into force of the British. The British imperial companies, which were created purposely for purposes of trade, was essentially because they intended to trade. And it must be remembered, therefore, that the colonial project was preceded by merchants. And these merchants were interested in the pricey commodity that was gold in that area. Hence the eponymous name of which the country was then known by, or the region at that time, as Gold Coast. And the tragedy of the Gold Coast is that most of the gold that was mined at that time was then taken to Europe and, of course, much later to America. And it is not lost on anybody who is keen, therefore, that most of the gold deposits that were taken out of the Gold Coast are now to be found in the United Kingdom, primarily because Ghana or Gold Coast became a colony of the United Kingdom. We also know, if you stretch a little further, some of the gold that was taken in the hinterland in places such as modern-day Mali, which at one time was called the Sudan, were then taken to France. And of course, we know that gold trade then also became the foundation and the basis for inter-ethnic wars in the process of British rule. And as you required labor in order to exploit this resource, it became necessary to deploy raids. And many are the stories of individuals from different communities which were then involved in the raiding for purposes of gold. It must also be said of the mining techniques that were used at that time. As early as in those days, what happened is that the quality of the environment also suffered as a result of the methods of mining that were used at that time. Forests were cleared, rivers were polluted, and it is never lost on me that today, when you hear the administration of modern-day Ghana talking about pollution, then you know that it has a history. And it must also be remembered that when Ghana regained her independence in 1957, gold became the basis and indeed the backbone of the Ghanaian economy. And Ashanti Golds, which was a company incorporated post-independence at one time, was the most heavily traded in the entire world. And indeed, Ashanti Gold still remains a very important medium via which Ghanaian gold is traded in different stock exchanges in the world. So the name changed from Gold Coast, which was a very, if you may, parasitic name by the colonizers. into the modern country that today we call Ghana. And the culture of mining has continued apace. Today, when one visits Ghana, one sees the major mines such as in Obuasi that I've already talked about, but some of the dilapidated mines have also led to a method of mining which is called galamse. And galamse is a method of mining where people use, it is alluvial gold. And these are artisanal miners. And that culture can be traced from the very days that we have talked about in the 15th century. And it also underlines the fact that African communities in that area were sufficiently sophisticated. And then when we write this story and read this story of gold, the writings of Diego de Azambuja, who was one of the leading Portuguese explorers, tells us that there was sophistication in the mining of gold. And today, when one visits Ghana and one visits the Elmina Castle, one will know that indeed gold was the prime mover in that part of the world and still remains the prime mover in the economy of Ghana and in the neighborhood. It remains a major source of income for countries such as Mali. So gold and Gold Coast are things that must be understood in that historical context. And today, when people are talking about adding value, it is the reason why countries, including Ghana, are now saying we cannot and should not export gold in its ore form. It must be traded with value addition. And that indeed has caught up in the rest of Africa. We now see that happening in different countries such as Tanzania, such as South Africa. And all these is because of the gold culture that emanated from Gold Coast, now Ghana, and emanated in that region, which produced Sundiata Keita and Mansa Musa, and on the basis of which Timbuktu and other great cities were built. Ladies and gentlemen, let us afford ourselves a break as we continue these discussions about the continent of Africa. We will see you shortly. Thank you. See you shortly.